Radio Prague News.
The Public Affairs Party has left the government. The head of the opposition Social Democrats says the government is illegitimate and that his party will not support it. And the State Intelligence Agency is uncertain of the origin of wiretap recordings of former Prague Mayor Pavel Bem and construction tycoon Roman Janosik. The Public Affairs Party has ended their coalition agreement with the Civic Democrats and Topo 9. The leaders of the three governing parties originally agreed to officially end their cooperation on Friday, with Public Affairs saying they would continue to support the government's austerity measures. However, Public Affairs Chairman Radek Yon now says that the Civic Democrats nullified the agreement already by seeking defectors within his party. He also withdrew his unconditional support for the agreed austerity measures, saying the party would now be in, quote, constructive opposition. Prime Minister Petr Nečas said the about-face showed that it was impossible to govern with Public Affairs, which he called untrustworthy, irrational, and hysterical. The head of the opposition Social Democrats, Bohuslav Sobotka, says the government is illegitimate and that his party will not respect it. Referring to the government's new reliance on the support of defectors from Public Affairs, Mr. Sobotka said that nothing good lies ahead with a government that bases its existence on breaking the principles of political culture. He also recalled the fate of the previous elected government, which was formed with the support of two defectors from the Social Democratic Party and ended halfway through the Czech EU presidency in 2009. Opinion polls suggest that almost 80% of Czechs do not trust the government. Some 100,000 people came to the streets of Prague at the weekend to demonstrate their opposition to the government. The state intelligence agency BIS is still uncertain of the origin of wiretapped phone calls between former Prague mayor Pavel Bem and construction tycoon Roman Janosik. The daily Mladá Fronta Dnes, which first published the recordings, claims they were created by BIS and acquired by the detective agency ABL. After a meeting of the parliamentary committee investigating the presumed leak, intelligence director Jiří Lang said there were a number of indications that the recordings could have been made elsewhere. The wiretap suggests that in 2008, then-Mayor Bem allowed his friend Janosik undue influence on the city management and policy. Mr. Bem has since left the Civic Democratic Party but retains his membership in Parliament. Civic groups demonstrating in front of Parliament on Tuesday declared the area a sociopathic zone. Dressed in white frocks and surgical masks, the demonstrators handed out flyers and sick sacks stamped for use if Czech politicians cause queasiness. The Prague Forum and Democracy Check-Up initiatives are seeking to draw attention to members of Parliament who are suspected or even convicted of criminal activities but have not given up their mandates. Organizer Václav Němec said that MPs Pavel Bem, Pavel Drobil, Vít Bárta and Jaroslav Škárka were jeering at the principles of politics by remaining in Parliament as if nothing had happened. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be mostly cloudy and cool, with scattered showers and highs of around 17 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, amidst a deepening crisis, the Prime Minister asks Parliament for a vote of confidence. And with 80% of Czechs wanting early elections, could the Prime Minister's efforts to save the coalition irreparably damage the centre-right parties? In Spotlight, we'll take you to the Prague Coffee Museum and we'll end the show with a Czech lesson as usual. So do please stay with us. The ruling coalition that won an unprecedented majority in the last general elections is a thing of the past. On Tuesday, the Public Affairs Party, decimated by the recent departure of a number of former members, left the government. The centre-right cabinet now faces a vote of confidence to test the strength of its support in the Lower House. Jan Wellinger has the details.
The troubled centre-right coalition between the Civic Democrats, Topo 9 and Public Affairs came to an end on Tuesday, no longer the 118-strong majority once viewed as unassailable in the lower house. Public Affairs Chairman Radek Yon told the media that the MPs in his decimated party were going into opposition and would in the future carefully consider which government proposals they wanted to support. The focus for the time being, though, is less on public affairs and more on those remaining in power, the Civic Democrats, Top 09, and breakaway MPs led by Carolina Peake, who is rallying supporters behind her in an effort to secure even a slim majority for the government. As it stands, the government now only has a tally of 100 votes in the Chamber of Deputies, which is not enough. Whether they can add to that support from additional independents or members of the departed public affairs will be known soon, with the Prime Minister Petr Nečas preparing to ask the lower house for a confidence vote on Friday. Originally, the Prime Minister asked for proof of a stable majority from MP Peake in the form of a 10-members deputies club. However, as she appeared unable to meet this condition, the Prime Minister quickly backtracked, saying the support from 10 independent but reliable MPs would suffice. So, it will all come down to Friday. Should the government fall, it would have broad repercussions, with key legislation threatened, including additional austerity measures, a bill outlining procedure in the upcoming direct presidential election, church property restitution, and more. What's more, if opinion polls are to be trusted, a collapse of the government now would also pave the way for a majority victory by the political left. Last week, one survey suggested that the opposition Social Democrats and the Communist Party together would clinch as much as 57% of the ballot if elections were held today. That is something many on the political right have expressed the determination to prevent. One reason why the government may gain just enough votes on Friday to continue trudging ahead.
My thanks to Jan Vellinger for that report. Now, although opinion polls indicate that the vast majority of Czechs would like to see early elections, embattled Prime Minister Petr Nečas has decided to try and weather the latest crisis and will ask the lower house for a vote of confidence in his government on Friday. Amid speculation that he may end up with a razor-sharp majority, political analysts are questioning the wisdom of trying to hold on to power at any cost. We spoke to political analyst Jiří Behe about the repercussions this might have, but first and foremost about the legitimacy of this new political setup.
I think that from the constitutional point of view, the setup is certainly legitimate, but the legitimacy in politics has two meanings. On the one hand, it is the constitutional kind and legal kind of legitimacy, and then we have political legitimacy. And I think that if we consider the latter, then certainly Mr. Nečas is in trouble because his government is highly unpopular, and this will anger the public even more. So they are not considering long-term ramifications of their behavior, and I think that keeping a government of this sort alive is certainly politically very risky. And what we may see in 1 or 2 years is a total destruction of the Czech political right. I think that we actually are really now headed for the scenario that we saw recently in Slovakia, where basically the political right managed to self-destruct to the point where the Social Democratic left was able to win the elections with an absolute majority.
Given its now shaky foundations, how long do you see this government staying in power?
I would give this government a few months. I think that another shock will come in the fall elections, that is regional elections and Senate elections, because if the Civic Democratic Party and Top 09 had any chance to do relatively well in those elections, I think they just buried those chances. Now I think we will see really a very sound defeat of both Top 09 and Civic Democrats in the fall elections, and that may trigger yet another crisis in this ruling coalition, a sense of panic, and we will see what will happen after that.
Having said all this, what are the chances of us seeing the government fall on Friday?
I think that at this point it is very unlikely that the government would fall this coming Friday, simply because the coalition seems to have 102 votes. On the other hand, of course, the dynamics of this current development is something that we should not underestimate. We may see some new developments before Friday. certainly Mr. Barta, who was or still is the very informal leader of the Public Affairs Party, has brought into Czech politics methods which may work in dissuading some former members of his party from supporting this government. What I mean is that Mr. Barta apparently managed to accumulate a lot of compromising documents and material on various politicians, and we may not exclude that between now and Friday, some of that pressure, with the help of those compromising materials, will be applied to people who now say they would vote for the government. But if that doesn't happen, then I think government will pass, and the chances of the government's passing the vote of confidence are certainly higher than government falling. So I think that we will go on for some time with this government, which, however, as I said, will be very unstable.
Political analyst Jiří Behe on the Czech government crisis and the outlooks for the future. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time to go places. And our destination today is the Prague Coffee Museum, courtesy of Chris Johnston.
Prague's Coffee Museum can be found almost in the shadow of the football club Sparta Prague's Letner Stadium. It's been at the current site for around 2 years. A similar museum previously existed nearer the centre of the city and provided the basis for the latest collection. The museum's current manager and owner, Katerina Ebelova, also brought some of her own family history and collection of coffee paraphernalia to the exhibition. One of her ancestors was the founder of a company that prepared chicory coffee in the central Czech town of Česlav at the start of the 1870s, before moving on to the production of mustard in the nearby city of Kutná Hora. Gaps in the collection have been filled in by trawls of flea markets and junk shops and a few donations. The breadth of the museum is one attraction. Another is an award-winning cafe as part of the complex. This has helped make it a popular attraction for all ages, as the museum manager's daughter and cafe manager, Patricia, explains.
Sometimes children from school or even kindergarten goes to look how what their parents, you know, really love to drink. And also the older people go and, for example, look on the coffee mills, which they know from their childhood.
Within living memory, people bought their coffee as green beans and roasted it themselves in small home roasters and ground it in handheld mills. The result was usually stored in decorative jars, sometimes alongside other spices. Czechs cannot claim to be in the forefront of bringing coffee from Africa via Arabia to Europe in the 17th century. Venice boasts of bringing the Muslim drink to Europe. The first coffee house in Prague is believed to have been set up by a Turk, and in its earliest days in Europe, the drink was castigated as an unchristian, devilish drink. The bitter drink was also regarded as more of a medicinal treatment than refreshment, with coffee being originally sold from pharmacists as a drug. The museum reflects some of that history.
We have three beautiful pharmaceutical coffee jars, which date from around 1890. Coffee was sold in small amounts, 5 to 10 grams, and was sometimes mixed with chicory because it was quite expensive. Czechs did not much like the taste at first because it was bitter and needed to be drunk with a lot of sugar or milk. But coffee houses soon became a center of culture and a cultural phenomenon.
Much of the museum highlights the different varieties of coffee on sale, with Czech companies appearing to favour the chicory variety that could be grown on the fertile fields around the Elbe River in the centre of the country. Mrs. Ebelova again.
Its bitterness was used for coffee production. The chicory was grown, dried, roasted, and milled into a fine powder and then turned into bars which appeared like chocolate. These could be boiled in water and milk and it could be then served. The result had a powerful stimulating effect and the taste was similar to coffee. Also, price-wise, it was quite affordable.
Ale hlavně byl dostupný i cenově.
Another rarer brew was fig coffee, which, by all accounts, made an excellent cup of coffee, with a lot of the initial sweetness removed during the production process. This, too, was sold in bars, with one such fig coffee bar on show in the museum. The museum's manager has resisted the temptation to break the original packaging and test the theory about its taste. She admits to being a bit scared that it might not have survived the test of time and could inflict some unpleasant side effects. An even rarer coffee and one of the museum's prize exhibits is what can only be described as animal-flavoured coffee droppings. In fact, it is the undigested coffee bean-rich droppings of the cat-like Asian palm civet, sometimes known as the Sumatran civet, with the results known in the local language as kopi luwak. Mrs. Abelova bravely switches to English to recount her encounter with this prized coffee.
This excrement from Tibet animal, the kopi luwak, is from Bali where I was last year in summer. 1 kilogram of this selected coffee luwak is about $1,000, and 1 cup of kopi is in very good hotels about 500-600 crowns.
One theory is that the enzymes from the mammal's digestive tract add a certain flavour and aroma to the coffee. Another is that the cat is simply selective in the coffee beans it consumes, leading to a nicer blend. Adverts for coffee, whether as old enamel signs or figurines, also make up a substantial part of the museum. One particular advertising ploy under the first Czechoslovak Republic was to send favourite customers cardboard figures from which to make their own Bethlehem models at Christmas.
Postavy, které přináší Ježíškovi do Betléma dary.
The figures bringing gifts to the manger, not just the three kings, but all of these bearers of gifts are carrying substitute coffee. You can see them with small bags of coffee substitute in their arms, in this case from the company Frank Perola. Nowadays, we have the impression that advertising is being pushed on us from all sides, but it's not true. Under the First Republic, they had also discovered the magic of advertising.
Objevili magii reklamy.
One coffee producer encouraged customers to copy the wisdom of the Czech philosopher Jan Comenius and select his brand. Advertising cards were produced by companies for all ages, cards with fairy tales for children and biblical figures for grown-ups. Nothing, it seems, was sacred. Coffee pots and containers, coffee mills in wood, metal and other materials, strainers, roasters and large metal coffee containers populate many of the glass cases. The coffee container collection is particularly rich and bears testimony to the changes in artistic styles over the last decades of the 19th century and the start of the 20th. Mrs. Abelova again.
Usually was you vegetable motifs and very often roses and different sorts of flowers and also clover motif was also very popular, also in Secese, Jugendstil, and in Art Deco time it was graphical design.
The museum also boasts a few large industrial coffee roasters. While these are not used, a sideline of the museum's coffee business is roasting coffee for a specialised chain of cafes in Prague. The amount varies between 60 and 150 kilograms a week, depending on seasonal demand. The chief roaster, Jaroslav Svietlik, was on hand at the museum beside an almost 80-year-old roasting machine.
Today they don't use coal or wood like they used to. The power is electrical and the heat is gas.
The principle, though, is the same. It is like this roaster produced by the Probat company. It works in the same way, just with different power and heat.
Pracují na stejném principu doposud, akorát se mění to topné médium a pohon.
The museum and cafe are open daily between 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. A garden is open in the summer. The museum also has an internet address. There is also a room for temporary exhibitions, currently hosting a display about masochist or carnival masks, as well as an exhibition of historical teddy bear toys going back more than a century. Appropriately enough, some of the toy bears are displayed drinking coffee.
My thanks to Chris Johnson for a trip that must have pleased many of our listeners. And we now wind up this half hour from Prague with another part in Radio Prague's popular language series ABC of Czech, which we are now rerunning.
Ahoy, and welcome to the first in a new series of ABC of Czech. I'm Heather Bowne. I'll be your guide through some of the intricacies and surprises of the Czech language. We'll be taking up different aspects of Czech, from the various Czech words for shoes,
boty,
to the origins of some Czech surnames,
příjmení,
as well as tips from a non-native speaker on how to remember everyday expressions. And to get the pronunciation just right, I'll always be joined by a native speaker. Today,
Dita Asiedu
is in the studio with me. As you may have noticed from my voice, and especially my name, I myself am not Czech. In fact, I'm from northern New York State, and I do not have any Czech background at all. I came to the Czech Republic,
Česká republika,
or
Česko,
as Czechs frequently say, as an exchange student after I finished high school when I was 18. Many people have asked me why I chose to come to the Czech Republic.
Do České republiky.
The truth is, I came because I did not know anything about the Czech Republic. Well, that's not entirely true. I have a vivid memory of my grade 4 teacher showing us the map of Europe and telling us that there were more countries in the world now. I only remember focusing on the shape of Czechoslovakia, which, little did I know, was not a new country at all. I also remember when I was around 7 hearing a bad joke,
špatný vtip,
about going to heaven, and the punchline,
pointa,
was that the bad guy had to spell Czechoslovakia to get in. As a 7-year-old, I had no idea how to spell Czechoslovakia. And I think that instilled a bit of curiosity about the language of, to paraphrase Nell Chamberlain, a small country a long way away about which I knew very little. When I arrived, I didn't even know one word.
Ani jedno slovo.
Of Czech. After spending 1 year at the gymnasium in Zlín, I wasn't satisfied with what Czech I had learned, and I wanted to continue learning Czech language.
Čeština.
I decided to study in Toronto.
V Torontě.
Where I was for the past 4 years, which may explain my Canadian-sounding English. As you yourself may be learning Czech with no background in Czech language or culture, you may wonder what it is like coming here for the first time. One of my favorite things is how people say my name, Heather, a strictly English name, which is often difficult for people who do not know English to pronounce because of the th sound. A few months after I was here, someone enlightened me to the fact that Heather sounds like
Hadr,
the Czech word for rag. Before long, the Heather,
Hadr,
connection spread among my friends, and I was nicknamed
Hadr,
no matter how hard I tried to get my friends to make the connection with
Vřes,
the Czech word for the flower heather. But in the Czech tradition of nicknames and diminutives, my friends also called me
Hadruška
and
Hadřenka,
from the word for rag,
Hadr.
And that I agreed to. This brings us to the end of the first of a new series of ABC of Czech. Take care.
Mějte se.
And bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
And that Czech lesson brings us to the end of today's program from Prague. You'll find us at radio.cz. All our programs are there in text and sound. Should you like to contact us, then please write to english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you as always. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.